know that part of being a successful Jew is to be, you want to be learned, you want to be knowledgeable, but we also know that you want to be a tzaddik, right? So we have Friday shears. You want to work hard in learning, and you want to work hard in the brains, but you also want to be an Adam HaSheling. Now sometimes we find ourselves in two different worlds. Like, well, we want to learn, so we're learning Sos and Nesivos and Rambam. And then when we want to become a tzaddik, so then we find ourselves learning totally other Sfarim with totally different names and things like that. But the truth is, all of our great Rabbanim in learning, Halacha, Lamdas, they were all big tzaddikim. And all of our great tzaddikim, to one extent or another, were Talmidei Chachamim. You know, there is no inherent dichotomy. If anything, a dichotomy between these two is incredibly, incredibly unhealthy. You have someone who's a huge Talmid Chacham, but really not much of a tzaddik or a Baal Midas at all, that's very, very dangerous. And someone who's a big, big, big tzaddik, but without knowledge, so in the end of the day, their tzidkus is going to go off in strange directions. So that's why the synthesis is always there. It's just a question of what we perceive and what we realize. Like the Chavetz Chaim, well, the Chavetz Chaim didn't say, someone said, everyone makes a mistake. Everyone thinks the Chaim is a big Talmid Chacham. And the Chavetz Chaim is a big tzaddik. They don't realize how much of a Talmid Chacham the Chavetz Chaim is and how much a tzaddik of Chaim is. And it's true. So we don't always have that, you know, presented to us straight up. So I mentioned it's like a Ramban-like moment. The Ramban, you know, we learn during the week. So what better than a good Ramban? Right, you're Ramban al Shas, you think it over, you work it over, and maybe it continues on in the Rashba and the Ritva with variations. We can chew on a Ramban for a long time in Morning Seder. And it comes time for Shabbos, and the Ramban is teaching us the Sodos of Emuna, the Ramban is saying Pshat and Chumash, the Ramban is giving us ideas of morals and Musar. Right? So the Ramban, in the Ramban, you know, we see both sides. Even though everyone had both sides. So the Ramban presents us both sides. So the Chazon Ish, we go down many, many, many generations later. So the Chazon Ish was a humongous posek, very knowledgeable in Shas, a very big Baki in Shas. They say that, you know, what was the Derech HaLimud of the Chazon Ish? Like the Gra. What was the Derech HaLimud of the Gra? Know everything. You just sit and learn and learn and learn by yourself, and you just know everything. And the stories of the Chazon Ish just learned and learned and learned and learned and learned. Right? I don't know. No, it's not for me to say who knows everything, who doesn't know everything, buddy. So a big, big Lamdan and a big Posek. And we have this form of the set of the Chazon Ish on Halacha. And then we have this Sefer of Musar. He calls it Emunah Bitachon. Well, you know, to what extent exactly, how much Emunah, how much Bitachon, whatever. We'll learn the Sefer, we'll see it in the Sefer, but certainly a lot of it, how to be a good person. How to mold yourself as a person. And how often have we been disillusioned in life by someone who we respected so much for great knowledge, and then we find out that they're perhaps not a great person, or we find severe flaws. Everyone has flaws, and we shouldn't look with critical eyes. But sometimes the most the disillusioning moments of a person's life, or someone they respected, is somehow revealed one way or another, either on a small scale, or sometimes chas v'shalom, unfortunately, on a larger scale, as not being, you know, not walking the walk. So, as we open the Sefer, before we even open the crack the binding of Chazon Ish Emunah Bitachon, so it's nice to have what's obvious all the time. It's nice to have it sitting on our desk, you know, this synthesis that goes on with Chachmei Yisrael. So, the Chazon Ish nowadays is in English. Is there an English? There's an English now, right? Chazon Ish Emunah Bitachon? Faith and trust, that sort of ruins it. Because three quarters of my value is that my Hebrew is a little bit better, because I've been there to Israel a while, and I went to Hefter. Right? So, my Hebrew is a little bit better. And, you know, a lot of the words here are very hard. So, that's what I do. So I read and I can explain what in the world he's talking about. So I think even Rav Schechter was once quoting something from the Sefer Chazon Ish. So he mentioned, just as an aside, he said, yeah, it's the Sefer, I don't know if you know, I think it's mostly the beginning that's very hard. I think it gets easier as it goes on in terms of the Hebrew, although there are still some rough patches. But he said, the Sefer, I don't know if it's the Sefer, the beginning of the Sefer, the Hebrew there is hard. Even too hard. Like, I think that the Rav Schechter was sort of between the lines wondering, why in the world did the Chazon Ish write the Sefer in such a hard, complicated way? I assume that he wrote it tried to write it in a very elegant way. Because the ideas of Musar and Emunah, sometimes when presented with eloquence, have more weight. More precision, but sometimes also just more weight. To be able to talk about deep ideas with deep vocabulary. So, we'll read through the Sefer together, hopefully. And if it goes well, great. And if it doesn't go well, well, we all know who picked it. So, whatever. Seder. Okay. Like I said, I'm not considering this a shiur because I'm not preparing and I'm not working on digging on Bar Mikomos, etc. On Wednesdays, maybe on Wednesdays I'll prepare a little just in terms of the, you know, just the Inyanim of Emunah. But learning together, and for whoever doesn't find benefit, like I said, I'm ready. You know, 2 weeks from now, me and like two iPods, which no one's really going to listen to. Maybe even I'm the one who put out the two iPods. You know, so it's fine. Whatever's good, whatever's the toilet. So Perek Aleph. So Perek Aleph Ke'ilu is the Emunah, and Perek Beis is the Bitachon. In this, if you're wondering why it's called Emunah U'Bitachon, Perek Aleph is quote unquote Emunah, Perek Beis is quote unquote Bitachon. If you look at Perek Aleph, it starts Midas Emunah Hinatia Daka, etc., etc. What is Emunah? Emunah is, etc., etc. And Perek Beis begins Taut No Shenet Nit Azrucha Belev Rabin B'Musik Bitachon. There's an old-time mistake that's taken up residence in the hearts of people when it comes to understanding the idea of bitachon. And he continues to discuss bitachon, and even to contrast bitachon to emunah. What's called emunah? What's called bitachon? So Perek Aleph is emunah, and Perek Aleph reads almost like one long thought, one long idea. Has anyone ever learned and read Sefer a little bit? It could be that's why we're reading it now, because people try to read it. No, okay. So we'll let it unfold a little bit more. Perek Aleph sort of flows as almost one long idea. So we'll begin. Midas Emunah, he Nitzian, and we got the joke about starting the Chazon Ish Dafka on a day with no electricity. The Chazon Ish was the one who really hounded into Klal Yisrael the idea that there's a problem using electricity on Shabbos, because maybe the grids are being turned on by Jews, and Bnei Brak, like everything runs on a generator, right? Even the generators on Shabbos have generators, right? Because to use the... No one knows what I'm talking about? Right? Okay. In fact, actually, last Shabbos, there was actually was there blackouts across Eretz Yisrael last Shabbos, or just in Tzfat? Some serious blackouts on Shabbos and Tzfat. And we're wondering, maybe just for Pilpul B'Alma about eating the food Shabbos day. Because if someone's turning back... Anyway. Midas Emunah hi netia daka me'adinas ha'nefesh. The Amun is a mida. Amun is a trait. It's not an act. It's a mida. Hence, it's nitiyah daka. It's a very sublime leaning. Now, don't check me on English, by the way. First of all, I don't think they have the word sublime. Right? But second of all, whatever. If I make a big mistake, then get me. But if it's just like small words that are off, let me be. Netiyah daka me'adinus hanefesh. Adinus hanefesh means a sensitivity of soul. It's a midah, which means it's very internal. Deeds are external. Midas are very internal. Right? And it's a midah of the nefesh, and it comes from the sensitivity of the soul. What does that mean? He continues and he expands about this, and it's a very, very important point, especially for guys, especially for us. You ever notice how, I would say a blanket statement, girls are better at Amunah than boys, and guys from out of town are better at Amunah than guys from in town. Now, I know there are exceptions, but there are some girls who are more like guys, there are some guys who are more like girls, and there are some guys from in town who are more like out of town, some guys from out of town who are, no, none of those. But, right? What's pshat? Emunah requires a certain sensitivity. Im ha'adam hu baal nefesh, the person of sensitive soul, v'shato, someone who's blunt and crude has trouble with emunah. V'shato shat hashkeit, we'll speak about that in a minute. And he's living at a time of internal peace and internal quiet. Doesn't just mean that there's no noise. Internal quiet. Chavshi me'ravon tavani, free of taivas, hunger for taivas. Ve'eino marhivavi machaze shamayim larum v'aretz lomek. And his eyes... Oh, where's Josh Levine? Tell Josh to write down the lights going on during Pirkei Avos story. That's a classic. I should have called it. I should have said that we'll learn Chazon Ish well, and the lights will go on. That would be awesome. Okay. So, his eyes are amazed by the heavens and the earth. The height of the heavens, the depths of the earth, nirgash v'nidham, Okay. Let's break this down. He's going to start talking about emuna based on observation of the world, of the natural order of the world. And we'll bring other famous tzaddikim who have spoken about it. This is a famous track in engendering emuna. But he gives an introduction. What type of person does a person have to be in order to be a person of successful and more facile in faith? Easier getting to emuna. You have to be baal nefesh. Two components here. You have to be a sensitive person. Someone who's very crude. What does it mean to be crude as opposed to sensitive? Sensitive is someone who notices fine things and takes them to heart. A crude person doesn't notice fine things, nuances. Like, oh, can you help me out with, taking down the sukkah? Sure. So a crude person hears, great, come over tomorrow. Right? A baal nefesh hears, whoa. I see from the body language and tone of voice that sure is not really a sure. They're sensitive. Plus, they notice fine things and they take it to heart. I'm sensitive to the fact that this person is giving me vibes that he may not want to help, and maybe I should be concerned about that. Maybe I shouldn't take advantage of this, right? So baal nefesh, a person has to be able to pick up on small things and take them to heart. So you have to be the right type of person, and two, it has to be the right type of time. Shaito shas hashkeit chofshibi ravon tavani. A person has to have quiet, A, B, free of tivus. Then you're able to notice what needs to be noticed, which is what he's going to describe in a minute. One of the things that prevents a person from seeing things with depth is noise. Shato shat hashket. We already have this in the Maseilas Yesharim. Maseilas Yesharim speaks about mafsidei hazehirus, right? And what one of the mafsidei hazehirus? Tirda, maybe she'll learn Maseilas Yesharim. Tirda ha'olamis. The world creates a lot of noise. I'm very busy. Person's very busy. We don't have so much quiet time. How's a person supposed to have emuna and faith? How's a person supposed to take advantage of their innate... I'm a very sensitive person, but I'm crazy busy. So I never actually have time to be in touch with myself. We don't have in this world a lot of quiet. This world is a very noisy world. In fact, and then the second... This is part one. Part two, a person should be free of tivus. We'll speak about the tivus tomorrow. Just to make sure people come back. What's tomorrow's topic? Tivus. Good. Everyone can bring their own personal example. We'll go around the room, whatever. Fine. But shas hashkeit, we live in a world where there's no quiet. No one thinks about anything. Maseilas Yesharim speaks about this also. About alkein yomer amosh lem bol cheshbon, bo nechashe cheshbon shel olam. That a person needs to have time to do a cheshbon means a, what's the translation? I don't know. But a person has quiet time to think about things. And nowadays we don't have much quiet time. Everything's noisy. Everything's very, very fast. And everything, we don't wait for anything. Why was today such a frustrating day so far? Suddenly we're back 100 years in time. We have no control of our surroundings. I don't like the temperature that God made today. But we have no control over that right now. And we're not used to that. I have to, I guess our phone's going to go down. It wouldn't be great if all the phones went down too. We have to wait for things. People nowadays don't have time for quiet. I was listening to a mashiach of a known yeshiva was speaking. Actually, I was coming from Arab and he went 5 minutes overtime. But I always assume that means I'm supposed to hear these 5 minutes because that's a unique message for me. So what was the message he said? It was a couple of weeks ago. He was talking about how he sees many fine Torah observing, avrechim. They walk around often with headphones. Now, he was assuming they're not listening to the Shweki or whoever else people are listening to. He was assuming, or whatever, worse. He was assuming that they're listening to Shirin. And he said he's not sure that's a good idea. That sounds like a pretty firm thing to listen to a Shir. But he asked aloud, how often does a person spend time just with themselves thinking about things quietly? I said walking or driving in the car. So people driving in the car, I'm a mensch. I listen to a shir in the car. Maybe the car is a good time to think. Probably, not too deeply or else the Rav, they didn't let the Rav drive. They wouldn't let Rav Soloveitchik drive. Because one of the first times they asked him to go somewhere, he said, oh, I'll drive. So he ran off the road. He just started driving. At some point, the road curved. He just kept going straight. And the Rebbetzin yells at him, you're Shaber! Where are you driving to? He says, oh, I'm driving. I thought you were driving. He says, that's a real story. I've heard it from a Williger, from a Scheffler. He lost himself. He was thinking. Start thinking. But in order to have a moon, a person needs to have quiet time to think. That's A. So we have Baal Nefesh, you're a sensitive person who knows how to notice, find things, and internalize things. You have moments of quiet in life, which we need to carve out because they don't exist naturally nowadays. Right? You ever speak at first on the phone? In person, it's sometimes also not as obvious. On the phone, it's even worse. But if you don't know Rafirsky well, you'll ask him a question on the phone, and you'll hear silence. And at some point, you'll make the mistake that every rookie makes. Hello, hello, Rabbi Tversky, are you there? And he's there. And after a few seconds, he'll say, oh, sorry, I was thinking. Meaning, you asked him a question, and now there was 30 seconds of silence. Because he actually is going to think. And this thus is very strange. Right? Quick answer. Speed dating, speed... Chavshimi Ravon Tavani. Next one. Chavshimi Ravon Tavani means as follows. And this is a biggie. And we'll even speak about this in Emunah on Wednesday. A person can't have Emunah unless they're to a certain extent able to escape Taivas. And not just Taivas, a hunger for Taivas. Meaning not even just the Taiva itself. I yearn for Taivas. Taiva and Emunah are foils one for another. The antithesis. It's very hard to be a Baal Emunah if a person has Taivas. The simple version, I assume we'll start with this again tomorrow, but the simple version is someone who has Taivas has self-interest to not find truth. Right? I have a Taiva for that food, so I have a strong interest not to believe it's unhealthy for me. Or maybe, I'm not really flacious. Right? No, we must have finished lunch by 12:15, definitely. Why? Because you want to eat something milchitz. So that's not a normal way to think about something. The question has to be asked, without Taiva, once there's a Taiva involved, the answer may not be the right answer. So kal v'chomer, when it comes to something as important as Emunah. Emunah is like a home run question. Because if you end up deciding that you're a person of faith, that's a life-transforming event. So we'll speak more tomorrow about how Taiva can inherently oppose any form of Emunah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Oh, you were just thinking. Oh, yeah, that was good.